This is Evergreen Simpsons. We're creating a unified timeline of The Simpsons, looking at what was happening historically at the same time, on and off the screen, during the classic episodes from the first 10 or so years. Joining me is my co-host, Felipe Flores. He's a cartoonist who's written comics about The Simpsons as real people. Those were the genesis for our show.
Chris is a radio journalist covering the underbelly of suburbia, SGV, California. These are his microphones. He has awards for them.
Which episode are we on? What's this one called?
It's called I Married Marge, Chris.
Marge? Okay, so this is the 47th episode of The Simpsons. It aired on December 16th, 1991. Do you have a timeline date for this flashback episode, or is this another one of those it occurs over a whole year kind of things?
The year is 1980. The number one song was Call Me by Blondie. Number one movie, as we'll find out, was The Empire Strikes Back, and the number one show is Dallas, which will be relevant later on in The Simpsons canon. It's been about 6 years since the last episode, which was The Way We Was.
Do you think Marge went to college during this time? Did she do any college?
I think they both made an attempt at college. I think
Homer.
I think she would have pressured him to go to some kind of schooling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they both didn't make it, obviously.
No, not at all.
He's still working at a mini golf course, and she's working at a fast food joint on roller skates.
So, as flashback episodes tend to begin, something is on the fritz. In this case, it's Marge's uterus. She may be pregnant with the fourth Simpsons child, and so, therefore, it's story time for Bart, Lisa, and Maggie, as Homer regales them with Bart's origin. It begins with Marge and Homer riding high, having just seen The Empire Strikes Back. Homer spoils the movie's big reveal, guess who's Luke's daddy, to an entire crowd waiting to see the movie. This was pre-spoiler alert.
Yeah, back at the Bouvier residence, Marge's dad seems to have died since we've left.
Hooray!
And Jacqueline Bouvier seems to be in a pretty good mood as a result. She gets the whole house to herself and the Bouvier fortune.
She seems lighter.
I would assign this specific day as May 21st, 1980. Bart would be born February 23rd, 1981. 9 months gestation period before he pops out of that thing.
And pop out he does. So this all begins when Homer takes Marge back to his love shack, which is the interior of the windmill at the mini golf course where he works. And by works, I mean he turns a small crank for hours at a time, hopefully with a complimentary soda from the snack bar at his side. So he takes Marge into his lair, and she's no match for his smooth handling and his sexy green jacket. Bart, the avatar of children raised by television, interjects into the story, "You're a machine, Homer." Later on, Marge finds out she's pregnant, and Homer makes her an honest woman with a trip to Nevada for a quickie wedding at Shotgun Pete's, a bestained little chapel that offers newlyweds $10 in complimentary chips.
This is obviously Reno. People always argue like where Springfield is, and I maintain that it is Matt Groening's hometown of Portland, Oregon. And Reno is a doable car ride.
Yes, but Portland rent is not doable on Homer's fantastical occupation.
No, it's not.
No, it's not going to happen. So he moves out of his shared apartment with Barney and into the Bouvier household, where the family's resentment towards him blankets the air. It's no longer the briefly happy Jacqueline Bouvier. One man is gone and another has replaced him.
Yes, out of the frying pan into the deep fryer.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Marge is, as you said, working as a roller skating car hop at a nostalgia burger joint.
Yeah, I think she's drawn to this type of work because she loves the 1950s.
The panache of the uniform.
Yeah, she likes the uniform. She likes kind of like the male and female gender stereotype roles that are assigned to that decade.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they move in with the Bouvier family. They don't move in with Abe.
Yeah, I can't see that conversation even beginning where Abe would allow that to happen. And I don't think there was really any conversation about it either, bringing Homer in. It was kind of probably Marge asked and Homer moved in the same hour.
Yeah, but it's not like the Bouvier residence was any less toxic than living with Abe.
Emotionally, not going to argue with you. But I don't know. There's a lot of weird stains in Abe's house.
Yes, but I think this is consistent with Homer's inability to get past his abusive relationship with Abe. Abe is continually throwing out olive branches for him, but Homer just can't accept them. He needs to, like, do it on his own.
Sort of.
Ultimately, he does.
Yeah. So Homer's hunt for a better job does not go well. He goes in for an interview at the nuclear power plant, and his lack of accomplishments are very obvious as Smithers proceeds to offer not one but two job openings to guys who are in the same fraternity as him. I'm in the Alabama branch. So the jaws of reality close in around the Simpsons, and repo men take away their baby supplies and Marge's wedding ring.
Oh.
Late at night, Homer writes Marge an incredibly heartbreaking letter that he will leave and not return until he makes enough money to provide for her and Bart, which I'm sure you can put a dour spin on, Felipe.
This is similar to his suicide attempt from season one. Homer makes performative declarations using notes so that he doesn't have to deal with the confrontation in real time. And we see Homer wearing a I Shot JR shirt, and this could be foreshadowing to the Who Shot Mr. Burns episode.
So, until Homer's going to get that impossible job, he's laying low at the Gulp and Blow, steadily losing hair, working through hangovers. Patty and Selma see him there, and the information is relayed to Marge, because Selma, which one is the less evil sister?
They're identical twins.
No, one of them is... One of them is a little less evil. There's always, one of them is a little less evil. So what? Anyway, one of them says in the episode, let's just let her find out the hard way. And the other one's just like, and she feels bad and she tells Marge where Homer is because Marge is wondering.
Yeah.
So Marge begs him to come home, saying she'll accept any ring from him, even an onion ring.
Oh.
Here, devoted fans are rewarded with a continuity callback to when Homer pinned the corsage on Marge after prom, and he says yet again, poor Vu. Now, Homer renewed takes another crack at getting his job at the power plant. In another all-timer speech, he convinces Mr. Burns that he'll be the perfect mindless employee. You know, he says, like, you don't like that? I can change.
And Burns takes an immediate shining to Homer.
Bizarrely.
Compares him to a young Waylon Smithers, actually. And from this, I think Burns is actually aware of his son, Larry Burns, who is more or less around the same age as Homer and acts the same.
Yeah.
And I think he sees Homer as the son he does have, but totally ignores.
Yeah. And will soon very much like to forget about every episode. Who is that layabout in Sector 7G?
I always think that Burns not knowing who Homer is the information getting telegraphed to Maggie. Marge complaining that, like, Mr. Burns doesn't even acknowledge you. He doesn't even know your name. It's probably not the case. He's important at the plant. He's the safety inspector, for crying out loud. I'm pretty sure Burns knows who Homer Simpson is.
So Homer returns home to find that Marge has gone into labor and is at the hospital now. When Patty tries to throw him out of the delivery room, Homer's spine grows three sizes and he demands respect in a way that outshines even his speech to Burns. He's unstoppable. I think he even tells Patty on screen, on TV, a show children are watching, to shut up.
This is a big moment because it allows Marge to finally get out of the Bouvier household. At least for her, it gives her a chance to break her trauma cycle, at least. Homer probably could have been a deadbeat, but ultimately he would have felt too guilty. Like, I don't think he could have, actually have left Marge with, Bart.
Nah, he'd keep sending her onion rings.
Yeah.
So, a few moments later, after wanting to deliver the baby himself, Homer and Marge meet Bart for the first time, who immediately sets Homer's tie on fire. He concludes the story by telling the kids that they're the greatest gifts he's ever received, only for Marge to come in a second later, shouting, I'm not pregnant! And they high five. So, did this episode happen?
Marge is missing for large chunks of the telling of this story. But nothing too wacky happens. We don't have any aliens or long-lost relatives. So, I'd say...
Or giant fish.
Right. 80%, I'd say.
So, in an alternate timeline, Is there a fourth Simpsons child? What would that kid be like?
Oh, well, that child would be the coddled one, and Maggie would be moved to the middle. And whatever psychological hang-ups and problems she has would be just multiplied by a factor of four.
So her hair would fall out a little faster.
Yeah, Jan Brady, but worse, I'd say.
Oh, God. Okay, so what's going on in America at this time?
I'd say the idealism of the 60s is giving way to the reality of 9 to 5. In our last episode, The Way We Was, we see our characters at a crossroads, say. Now they are, like, on that fork, and they're not liking it. They're going to have to just grin and bear it.
How do you think the Simpsons are doing emotionally at this time?
Well, faced with becoming parents, the natural reaction to anyone who's been traumatized by their parents would be to ensure you take steps to not become that abusive parent.
Homer takes no steps.
Well, he's there. He's present, which is more than what his mother was.
Yeah.
Marge pledges to be unconditionally loving, which her mother was not.
She was unconditionally unloving.
Jackie has many a condition. For me, Jackie is like the villain of The Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah.
As we're watching these episodes, she's just quietly the Emperor Palpatine of The Simpsons universe.
Yeah, Abe gets to redeem himself one flashback at a time, little by little, you know, in just totally clownish ways. And Jackie, that vault is shut tight.
Right. She's a Joan Crawford-esque mommy dearest nightmare.
Somewhere there's an unproduced flashback episode where she pushes Marge down the stairs.
Oh, shit.
So, how did this episode impact you?
I think this is the least effective of the flashback episodes.
Por qué? Why?
I think it's the least funny. And also, it's just kind of a stopgap between two better ones.
Yeah.
And also, I think just like what's happening is a bummer. It isn't like they're in high school, and high school is usually, you know, fun in any media.
Yeah.
Especially like 70s. It's kind of like a Dazed and Confused vibe with that last one.
Yeah.
This one is just like.
I think my wife said the same thing when we watched it.
Right. I mean, we described them as like Springsteenian star-crossed lovers. I mean, the last episode was probably Born to Run. This one's more like
this one's
Nebraska.
You know, Homer got a job working nuclear safety inspection at the Johnstown Company. And
all right, we finished the episode. Woo!